This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
NFT and the metaverse. We talked about it today. It's in the press ad nauseum. Gentlemen, give us the truth. What's going on? And why should we care?
I think we should care because we should care about what consumers are doing. I think we should care because the consumer blockchain is the biggest technology shift in our society since the internet. I think we should care because looking around this room, most of us were professionals or starting our professional careers when the internet was doing the exact same thing. The Wall Street Journal ran the same article about the internet and said it was a fad when Wall Street stock prices collapsed in March of 2000. They are down 92% from the gold rush, greed, insanity, bad behavior of September, but they, I got you, brother. They're up dramatically from a year ago. Billions of dollars of NFTs were bought in that 92% decline. And most of all, we should care because the smart contract and the utility of digital ownership will impact consumer behavior in a substantial way. You know, my career has been pretty much predicated on Web 1, Web 2, and Web 3. Web 1 I used to build my dad's wine store. And took a $3 million business to $65 million in 7 years with no capital and no credit line because email open rates were 93%, Google AdWords were 5 cents, and I rode that wave. Web 2, for me, obviously was where more people got to know me, and I built a lot of wealth and a brand and built a very large agency on the back of that. Web 3 is much more Web 1 because it's complicated technology. The reason a lot of people in this room who are incredibly bright and thoughtful may struggle at first is it's very easy for us to bring our internet brain to the blockchain, right? We're bringing assumptions of what we've learned for the last 25 years that are just not true if you actually understood the underlying tech of the blockchain. And so the biggest thing that I'd like to get out of this session with this group is nobody here is not gonna be affected in a very substantial way by the blockchain for the rest of their lives. So before we read headlines, hear the hyperbole pro from me or con from another direction, please make sure you put in the 15, 20 hours of homework on actually understanding what a smart contract is, what minting is, what gas fees are, what Ethereum and Solana are. I think most people will come to a conclusion if they actually do homework and don't just read a headline that there's a lot going on here. And I think things like every sporting event ticket, every airline ticket, every receipt from a premium brand. I mean, I really do believe that most of LVMH's receipts of items over $5,000 will be in NFT form in a decade. And there's a lot of reasons why, royalties, the economics. This is a profound, profound consumer shift. And just like every other one I've seen, the masses are underestimating it. And that's where the opportunity is. There's such a fundamental difference between cryptocurrencies and, hold the mic, because we can go, cryptocurrencies and NFTs,
sure.
Right? Like, for example, I only own Bitcoin as a cryptocurrency and only because I bought it in 2014, right? So for me, cryptocurrencies are so different because I'm really more about human psychology and communication, where that's where NFTs really kick in, right? For me, NFTs are gonna trade on the same reason the fashion industry exists. We spend lots of money on fashion brands for the name on the apparel, not for how much it costs. So it's really actually all communication. I think the thing that most, one of the biggest reasons I understood that social was gonna work was people didn't understand that humans' basic need is to communicate. Basic human need is to communicate, and social allowed people to communicate through pictures and words at scale, right? And when I was an early investor in Twitter, everyone's like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like in all of 2006, 7, 8, 9, that was my only conversation. Everyone's like, who cares if you're walking the dog? Who cares if you're eating pizza? Who cares if you're going to Spain? And my answer was always consistent. I said, everyone. And it really, really made everyone struggle, which was, by the way, at that point, no different than what happened to me in 1997 when I said, I'm gonna sell wine on the internet. And everybody in my world was like, why would anybody buy wine on the internet? You can go to the store. Who's gonna buy wine on the internet? And I said, everyone. And that's because what people struggle with is they make decisions based on themselves, their opinions, their self-interest, where they are in their career, instead of having the humility to look at scaled human behavior. History always tells you the future. I had an e-commerce site in 97. Do you know how many people did not want to put their credit card into a computer? Everybody here who has not wanted to take the 3 hours of work to build a non-custodial wallet doesn't realize they just became their parents from 25 years ago. Everything you made fun of your parents for, you've become. And I think that's cool, because that's what that's what humans do, but it's very true, yeah. Right? For us, looking around this room, it seemed very simple in 99 and 2000 to put a credit card in. It didn't seem like high friction. To our 40 and 50 year old parents, it was massive. They were completely scared of getting their credit card scammed and things of that nature. That's just what happens. You became your folks.
One of the barriers on the NFT front is more about the fact that crypto is an appreciating asset, and you don't want to actually, at least as I would have, I don't want to buy a bunch of NFTs when I feel like the crypto itself is so valuable, and most NFTs you still have to use crypto for. Like, what's going to change there?
Well, it's not. To your point, and this is where a lot of the tax law kicks in, a lot of people are undereducated on this, it goes both ways, right? Like, for example, I actually buy NFTs. I'm the reverse of you. I buy NFTs as a hedge against Ethereum because I rather have it in CryptoPunks because the NFTs it can be bridged over to the platform that wins. So for me,
my... The NFT is more valuable than the crypto.
I do. I think it's more stable. I think it's more stable. Right? So I'm more scared that Ethereum doesn't win and is the Yahoo to the Google of what ends up winning more than CryptoPunks, because I'll be able to bridge over the CryptoPunk from the Ethereum blockchain to Solana or Cardano or to something else. Right? So I think that there's, you know, I'm very aware that I'm spitting out a lot of words. Yeah, I see you too. But you know what's so funny? I really want you two to hear this. 15 months ago, I sat on my carpet. I like consuming content on the ground for who knows why. And literally typed into YouTube, what is an NFT? 15 months ago. I just intuitively understood it was time and the consumer was here, and I was willing to take time out of everything for 40, 50, 60 hours, and it's really cool. Like, it seems, to me, and I'm really in this stuff, and I've always been, right? It's who I am, and like the first pass-through was like, ugh. This is fucking complicated. But you know, 40, 50, 60 hours later, you start getting these words that I just threw around down. But more importantly, this becomes very, very obvious on why consumer, because you have to understand, every app, every QR code, every membership card, every points, every airline mile, everything you're thinking about is better in decentralized server land than centralized server land. They become interoperable. Like, eventually Delta's gonna realize people trading their Delta miles for something else is better and more people will fly that way. It's not in a closed world, it's in an open world. And what we learned from the physical world to the internet, we're about to learn from centralized servers to decentralized servers, and it's gonna change the world. Can I say one thing?
Yeah, sure, more than one thing.
Why I really want it for this room is the 50 hours of homework is going to really impact your professional life. In the next 36 to 48 months, some of the biggest companies in the world are going to really need marketers that understand this. Some of the biggest companies in the world are gonna be formed that are only about this world, and many of you are in very advanced places of your career, and that knowledge base and maybe a couple of things you share on LinkedIn can be very disproportionately important for your opportunity graph. So just on some real like human level stuff, the way I kind of think about why I show up to anything at this point in my life is for a couple of you going down the path and putting in the work may actually create opportunity for you in this next 48 months, which are going to be profound opportunistic times. Like every person here has unlimited friends, family that collect things, magnets, ticket stubs. Like people are very bad at understanding what humans do normally. Like everyone has an aunt that collects elephants, right? Like little elephant stats, right? Or like if just right? Like I had some big advantages in this. I grew up heavy in sports cards, comic books, toys, and I lived on eBay the first 5 years that platform launched. Like it is profound how much goes through that system in marbles, matchboxes, magnets, like profound, because it's how people actually live. And you want to talk about real friction? Buying and selling things on eBay is real friction. Pack it, ship it, cancel it. Like the blockchain is actually not a lot of, is no friction once you get over the technology humps. So anyway, I'll leave with this because I know there's some other stuff we want to talk about.
Yeah,
I'll leave with this one point because I was there. There wasn't a marketer. There wasn't a marketer in 2007, 8, 9 that took social media serious. You know, like really at the level that, I mean, social media put democracy on its knees. People thought it was for kids. Like the same thing's happening right now with the consumer blockchain. Use this, use the fact that you came here as a spark to at least go a little deeper because it's really gonna play out. The biggest observation I have is that money clouds everything. And right now, even that statement, like the economics are extraordinary. There are people that literally bought Bored Apes for $250 a year ago that they're worth $200,000-$400,000. That's profound. You don't get those kind of returns. So I think there's just a lot of money hysteria. And so I've been very happy about the recorrection of the market and the decline, because now we get into the fun part. If, again, for some of the people that were there for this part of the career, just to remind people, pets.com was valued at $43 billion and had zero sales. So like the hysteria of this is nothing compared to Internet One stocks, which is why all of them went to zero. But to remind everybody, Amazon and eBay and PayPal were sitting there for $1, $2, and $6 a share in March 2000. And that's what's happening here. I think every norm is gonna be affected by this. I think we can all agree, in the last 25 years, the internet has touched a lot. A lot's changed. Dating has changed, transportation has changed. I mean, a lot has been affected. This actually has bigger ramifications because it really does take out power, to your point, from a lot of places that have historically had it. The biggest loser in this game is people in the middle that take a VIG for doing little. So if you're in that business, be careful. The biggest thing that I think is a theme to this is more thoughtful conversations around real human psychology and behavioral truths, I think, open up a lot of opportunity. I mean, look what's going on with content. I know we didn't get to it. I know it was part of this. Every brand in here, B2B included, not taking advantage of the TikTok arbitrage in the marketplace right now is a huge miss. The land grab for attention grab and awareness is extraordinary. This played out on Facebook fan pages in 2012. A lot of people missed it. But I'm stunned how many people have not reallocated their media spends and their creative spends to TikTok at the scale in which the consumption is on that platform. And so there's just always opportunities to innovate. And back to the faster and more, as an industry, I think we need to do less putting yesterday on a pedestal and doing a lot more of understanding what's actually happening today. Because what's most fascinating about this industry for me now being in it 15 years, most people treat today as it's coming. Oh, TikTok, it's coming. TikTok has hundreds of millions of 30 to 55 year olds on the platform consuming at scale. And so we're very good as an industry saying today is coming tomorrow and we fantasize about yesterday. Like the fact that we did upfronts a couple weeks ago, what the fuck, Todd?
So I'm sold on NFT, sold on crypto, great. Everything's getting slaughtered right now. NASDAQ is down 28-30% year to date. It's a big dislocation in the economy, and we have three of the smartest people in the stage right now. So what do you think is gonna happen here?
Rush, I think it's a great point. I mean, look, it's talk about human behavior. Oh, everybody in here probably at this point has read or at least somewhat knows that most of the wealth creation and the opportunities, career advancements, all happen during times of this. However, it's just not the human spirit of most to go on double offense when it feels scary. So what's gonna happen? There's only two binary outcomes. One, what always has happened up to this point, which is things get better at some point. Right? And all the people that doubled down during this time benefit from that. Or this is actually the apocalypse and it's all gonna go terrible. And at that point, I don't think we're gonna give a shit about all those other little things. And that's what I keep telling my friends. I'm like, if the thing that you're scared of is gonna happen, fuck money. You're gonna care about like your kids' health and your own health and like where you like, it, you know, and so it, yeah, survival. And so it's a really interesting behavior. Like there's a lot going on, but I think from a micro life standpoint, it's always been a binary game. And the micro of the silliness of what we're talking about here, our careers and business, the consumer is going to behave the way it's always gonna behave with modern technology, which is nobody really actually acts based on the stock market, even though a lot of people focus on the stock market or the economy. Like, the stock market crashed in 2000 on every internet stock. The internet still played out. And so, like, all this stuff, like, I mean, I have never, every single share of a Wall Street stock I own is based on a company that I invested in pre-IPO. I've never liked it, it's not where I'm at. This is the first time in my entire life I'm considering buying, because companies that are not disappearing just because the inflation is up and there's a war in the Ukraine are getting slaughtered because the market has decided to not focus on growth companies and they want EBITDA. But the consumer doesn't sit around and say, oh, I'm not gonna use Snapchat today because their stock is down 43%.